With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
The Advent season is marked by the call to joy. Just look at the festive nature of it. Why is it festive? Why should it be festive? And has it become rather stale? I mean, it's festive because you know it's supposed to be festive? Or is there something burning, fomenting, gloriously, effervescently at work in our hearts that begs to be expressed with joy to the world? The Lord has come.
Welcome. And stay with us as Dr. Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Harry brings us part two of the message entitled The Messiah King and His Kingdom. We continue our Advent series, The Messiah King. Isaiah chapter 9 reveals three promises of the Messiah King and his kingdom. Gloom will be displaced by glorious joy. Darkness will be displaced by glorious light. And a remnant will be displaced by a joyful multitude. This great messianic prophecy proclaims the coming of an unexpected and unlikely warrior king, the triumph of the Messiah King over all of his enemies, and the emancipation of those oppressed by sin. The Messiah King and his messianic kingdom cannot fail because he cannot fail. If you're following along in the scripture, turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Here again is Harry Reeder with part two of the message, The Messiah King and His Kingdom.
This king is an emancipator. This king is the emancipator for all who are oppressed in sin. This one saves us from the dominion of sin, its rod, its persuasion, its penalty, its shame, its guilt, all of that. He breaks the power of sin. He removes the penalty of sin. He changes you from the position of sin in the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. And then he enables you to begin to put to death the practice of sin. And then one day when that king comes back, the emancipation will be brought to perfection, and he will remove even the presence of sin and even the ability to sin. That's the glorious day that this king has promised to accomplish. The emancipation of those who are oppressed by the dominion of sin. And it will be done, interestingly, isn't it? It will be done as the day of Midian. Okay, I know you're looking at that and say, what in the world does that mean? The day of Midian. It's not as difficult as you're right now trying to make it. Right now you're, okay, day of Midian, day of Midian. Can I give you a hint? Don't call it the day of Midian. Call it the day of Gideon. Who defeated the Midianites? The one whom God called. His name was Gideon. How many Midianites did he defeat? 32,000. They even had the iron chariots. They even had the weapons, lethal weapons, and they surrounded them. Now, Gideon was going to go against them with 10,000, but God says, no, that's too many. Tell those that are fearful to go home. And then I'll tell you what, we still got too many. Go over there, and yes, there is a picture floating throughout Briarwood of me drinking from the spring of Gideon. And when I got down, I didn't know how do I do it so I can join Gideon's army. I couldn't figure out the difference between how do you lap up and how do you cup up the water. And then it comes to 300. And then they go into the battle with clay pots and a torch of light and the cry for the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And the Lord fought the battle. This is that amazing moment, isn't it? In a manger, in a forgotten town of a king, with an appointed mother and an adopted father, this king will come and will come to the remnant. But this king wins the victory for our very soul to set us free from sin, from death, from hell, and from the grave, and defeats them. In fact, that's where he came. He said, let me give you another thing that he's going to do. He's not only going to emancipate us from the dominion of sin, but the third thing he says, he is going to triumph over all of his enemies. He will defeat sin, death, hell, and the grave. And then what will he do? Look with me in that text again. Look at chapter 9 and verse 3. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. He will win the victory over all of his enemies. This Savior who will humble himself to be born, to live a life of righteousness, to be rejected, to go to the cross, and there he will set us free from our sin. At the cross, he will redeem his people. He will be placed in a tomb. On the third day, he will rise again, declaring that he has won the victory over sin, over death, over hell, over the grave. He has won the victory, and because he has because he has defeated his enemies, when he comes again, he will destroy his enemies, and all of his enemies will be cast into the hell of fire. Sin, Satan, death, the place of the dead, all cast into hell itself. Defeated all of his enemies and cast them into eternal condemnation, and they will be no more. But wait. Wait, there are enemies that will not be cast under God's judgment for eternity, but will be saved for eternity. For God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. And instead of being cast under his judgment, the one who took our place and bore our judgment, when he comes again to destroy the defeated enemies, will welcome his elect who were enemies of him, whom he saved from all of their sins for all of eternity, to welcome us into glory. One more four. Well, how? Now just stop. Just work your way chronologically through this. Gloom displays. Light displacing darkness. Remnant turning into a multitude. How? By emancipating us from the dominion of sin. How? By defeating all of the enemies of God's glory and majesty and holiness. By defeating them and redeeming his people. Well, how will that happen? That only can happen through a divinely sent warrior king who comes, now watch this, who comes for us. Look at that next verse. For unto us, can you hear the echoes of the song of the angels to the shepherds? For unto us a Savior is born. For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name. Well, stop right there. Who's going to do this? a child, male, child, king. That's who's going to do it. A male, child, king is coming, not from Miriam. You know, birth announcements, you've received them. Unto Harry and Cindy was born Jennifer, Ike. That's what we say. This doesn't say unto Joseph and Mary, the appointed mother and adopted father. This says unto us. A child has been born. A son has been given. And his lordship and governance will stand because it rests upon his shoulders. Now, who is he? Who is he? He is the glorious, wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. Those are the shoulders that will bear this kingdom, its sovereign reign that will be forever. It will be upon him, that babe in the manger, who in the manger is upholding the whole world by the word of his power, is the one who will emancipate his people from their sins, is the one who will defeat all of his enemies. And there is, listen to me carefully, there is no coalition. He doesn't need help. This is his work, and only he can do it. And we who work with him and for him, because we love him who first loved us, he is not dependent upon us. But he allows us to be empowered and used by him. He allows that. So, why and how does this take place? Well, that brings us very simply to a takeaway. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. So here's what you know. Would you go with me to Isaiah 9, and let's finish by looking at this last part. The government will rest upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice. That's not our justice. That's his justice. That's what he reminds you of, that he saves us not at the cost of his holiness and justice, but by his justice through his grace. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And not our righteousness, but his righteousness that clothes us in justice because he's paid for our sins. He forgives us in his righteousness. He clothes us with his justice. Having satisfied the holiness of God, he has shut the gates of hell. And with his righteousness, he has opened the gates of heaven for his people. So that here is his kingdom that is forever. And this one of the line of David is the one who establishes it and he upholds it from this time forth and forevermore. This kingdom cannot fail. And this kingdom cannot fail because the king cannot and will not fail. And here is the symbol. Here is the striking of the symbols of this glorious concerto of praise to the King. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Now you've got a reason to rejoice this Christmas. It's not just showing up and going through the motions. are mumbling a hymn. Now you've got something from your heart. He has taken the gloom of my sin away and brought me to the dawn of redemption. He has brought the light of His word and the gospel, and by His grace, I have been redeemed. He dispelled my blindness and my deafness. He gave me eyes to see and ears to hear, and now the light of the gospel has made sense. And He has done all of that to bring me into the multitude of the kingdom of God that one day we will join before the throne and to the praise of His glorious grace, every tribe and nation giving praise to Him who is the King of glory, and worthy is the Lamb who takes away the sin of His people and brings us into glory. And this kingdom that He has initiated is not only now, it is forever. The best is yet to come. Not yet has its fullness been given to us, but it is now, and it is increasing. It is increasing, and I know right now some of you are saying, Harry, are you sure it's increasing? Things don't look too good in this country. Aren't we losing impact and influence? Well, that's another day in another sermon as to why a distracted church loses its impact when it gets off mission, off message, and off ministry. But that's not what's happening. Very simply, the Messiah King and His messianic kingdom cannot fail because He cannot fail. And why is that? The zeal of the... By the way, that's an interesting word, zeal. They could have used the word ardor, and they could have used the word... Let me give you another word. They could have used the word passion. During Holy Week, what's another word that we call that? The week of what? Let me ask you a question. Do you think that Jesus, who fulfilled His passion to do the will of the Father, to save His people from their sins, do you believe the one who would not fail in His humiliation can possibly fail in His exaltation? The same zeal of the Lord of hosts to save us from our sins on that cross is the same zeal that assures a kingdom that is forever, that is relentless, that is unstoppable, that will move throughout all the earth. Yes, from a little upper room with frightened disciples seeing the risen Savior for the first time. From that place to a mountain where He gives the first assembly of the church their mission and their message and their ministry. And then back to an upper room where now the 11 become 12 and the 12 become 120. And then comes 3,000 and then comes 5,000 and then comes the gospel going north, south, east, west. Follow the trail of the book of Acts as it goes north and west. Watch its work. It's also going south. In fact, the greatest work arguably will be done in North Africa, where the great work of the gospel will be felt there in Alexandria and other places, but it will also go east. It will not only go south and east and north and west. In fact, within 25 years in Europe, they'll be saying these people have turned the world upside down, not because they went out to turn the world upside down, but because they went out to turn sinners right side up. And when sinners get turned right side up, whole worlds begin to change. On mission, on message, and in ministry. And that's what's happening. That's what needs to happen here. But be encouraged. Our dear Dr. Pratt will be back with us for a missions conference, if I'm not mistaken. I think I'm right. I know he'll be back in January to teach at our seminary. But I remember the last missions conference. Do you remember some of those things he shared with us? If I misquote him, check me out with him when he gets here. Here's what he reminded us. India and China now have more Christians than there are citizens in the United States of America. Iran, closed country, is burgeoning with conversions. Even the UN, and I'm quoting Dr. Pratt again, so blame him if I'm wrong, even the UN Back when he was here, he reminded us they had done a study. Do you know what they're predicting? And the UN is not exactly a bastion of evangelical surveys. They have declared that by the year 2025, there will be 200 to 600 million new Christians in Africa. I've had the privilege, as you know, to be involved in what's happening in Brazil. His kingdom is unstoppable. His kingdom is relentless. It will not be stopped, and here's the reason why. Not because of the coalitions we put together, not because of our ingenuity, not because of any one preacher, not because of any program. Here's what will happen. It will happen because the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. It is his passion, and the one who would not fail to redeem his people will not fail in sending the redeemed with his mission, on mission, on message, and in ministry. The church as the embassy of that kingdom, the church is the epicenter of that kingdom. As this work goes forward, and it's not the church that does it, it's Christ that does it through his people as they go throughout the entire world. Now listen, I'm not being anti-political here, but I am going to be very pointed here. I am very grateful for Christians' engagement in the public square. And I think there is the place in common grace and even redeeming grace to bring the salt and light into the public square. That includes economics, that includes military, that includes politics, that includes the media, that includes. But listen, Jesus Christ doesn't need professors, he doesn't need generals, he doesn't need presidents, he doesn't need senators, he doesn't need anything out there. Jesus Christ will accomplish his purposes in his kingdom, and it is his zeal and passion that assures it. And that's where our hope is. That is where our heart is. Brothers and sisters, this is the context. This child. Would y'all give me one more minute that may turn into two? Just a thought. My heart goes to all of you here, this size. There may be some of you that I don't need to speak in corporate dispelling of gloom and darkness. I need to speak to you privately, for unto you a son has been given. That personal gloom. Can I tell you something? This Christmas, it's not going to be solved by a gift from your spouse. I'm all for good gifts to spouses. I'm not trying to get out of anything. Don't put the weight on your children. That gloom and that darkness and that dominion of sin is not going to be dispelled. It's not going to be displaced by going shopping on Black Friday. It's not going to be displaced at the parties where we sing, "I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, like the one I used to know." But it's the glory of the Christ and the zeal of the Lord that will accomplish this. It's not the gift you give or the gift that someone gave to you, although I understand why we do that. Folks, I'm not Scrooge, I promise. But I want you to understand, it is the Lord, and his passion is our assurance that we have life evermore, and his kingdom is forever and ever. Its government is upon his shoulders. As I go through the Gospels, I never read of anything but one thing that is placed on his shoulders, and that's the cross. And with that cross upon his shoulders, our Savior rescues us from the gloom and despair of sin, the darkness of idolatry. He breaks the dominion of sin as he defeats all of his and our enemies. And this one, who is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, will send his kingdom for his people from the setting to the rising of the sun. And the praise of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, because the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this and can do this for you personally right now. If you've never come to him, don't let this day pass. Come to him. I love the rhythms of the Christian life. I love the opening hymn of First Advent every year. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. I anticipate it. But what I want more than anything is for you to have joy, because the Lord who has come, you have come to him, Lord and Savior.
The Messiah King and his Messianic kingdom cannot fail because he cannot fail. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this, and his kingdom is forever. If you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request The Messiah King and His Kingdom, or simply ask for message number 16427. Again, that's message number 16427. We do request $5 when you request today's CD. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Pastor teacher Harry Reeder says of the Apostles' Creed, it is a gift of God's providence to his church, containing essential foundations of the faith once for all delivered to the saints as an instrument of discipleship, confession, and unity. In a nutshell, it summarizes in three concise sentences what the Christian believes. Harry has developed an in-depth 20-part series on the Apostles' Creed that every believer ought to have as a part of their personal study. Know the Apostles' Creed, and you will always be able to share what you believe. You can obtain the entire series by going to briarwood.org/Apostles Creed CD. Again, that's briarwood.org/Apostles Creed CD. We hope that In Perspective is encouraging you in your walk with Christ. We would love to hear back from you. Write Harry at In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243, or email inperspective@briarwood.org. Join us again next time as Harry Reeder takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put life in biblical perspective.